Welcome back to another episode of The Merge Feast. This episode is quite special because it featured our podcast. We had The Merge officially this week. So my name is Blake, back with Logan and Brandon. Welcome back, guys.
How's it going?
Well, let's hop right into it. I mean, we've got a lot to discuss, but it's like a lot of little things. So Logan, I'll kind of kick it off to you, but what was a big moment that you want to discuss, or kind of a defining moment of the episode?
Ooh, defining moment. Honestly, I think the main thing this episode was all about, I think, strategic talk and the alliances and who is kind of going with who, and really kind of start to see that some of that. So I think it'd be good to kind of dive into some of that a little bit. Obviously, a couple quick hitters. Hunter obviously got his immunity idol. And then, like you said, we obviously merged. So a few things that obviously want to go over, but like you said, not a ton of big things, kind of several small things. But what do you think, Brandon?
Well, this is my favorite point in the season when all the tribes come together as one. So I was very excited for this episode. But kind of some big things that stuck out for me was how Yanu was kind of leading the charge as far as how the first vote was going to go, especially Q. And then the fact that the Siga tribe was really kind of playing with their cards close to their chest, as Q would say, and really trying to define the Siga strong, even though we'll see what happens with that later. But that's kind of what stuck out to me tonight. What about you, Blake?
Yeah, I'm with you guys on all of that. This episode was a fun one for me because we got to see, I think, more strategy than we've seen from teams that have not even gone to tribal yet. It was interesting because you had a lot of strategy, a lot of luck with the challenge, and like how that was all, like who got drawn to what side. And it could have gone a handful of different ways, but it laid out kind of how I imagined it to lay out, with Yanu kind of being the swing vote. And it just so happened that they all landed on the same side for the challenge, and they all ended up being safe. So I know we'll go over the challenge here in a bit, but I thought that was kind of a big moment, especially for them when everything has seemed to go wrong this season so far.
Yeah, I thought the, like you said, the way that kind of split up, I thought it was interesting. Obviously, like you said, we'll get into that with the challenge, but some of the challenges that Yanu had, I think it was kind of nice for them to get all put on the same team.
For sure. Well, we kind of start out this week with kind of the aftershock from last episode, where Jim was voted out, and the only person to be left out was Mariah. And so we kind of got a glimpse for the first time that things are not as awesome as they seem. Like, there are some cracks, even though Siga is incredibly tight. But so I knew Mariah was going to be kind of a pivotal person this week. But I mean, right after that, it jumps into basically the merge. And I know the merge has changed in the modern era, but Brandon, do you want to talk about how the merge has changed? And I know we talked about it last time, but just how you have to earn the merge now. It's, you don't just make the merge.
Yeah, I'll get into that. So Yeah, with the new era, the way that the merge works is all the tribes come to one beach, but they're not merged. They're kind of in what in Survivor kind of fandom is known as mergatory. You're not with your previous tribes, but you're not a merged tribe yet. So you have to earn the merge by winning what is usually a team challenge where you split into two. And that's what happened today.
So, I mean, there was a little bit of strategy and just kind of feeling everybody out before the challenge. Do you guys want to talk about how, like, really just anything that happened before the challenge?
I do. Since Mariah is obviously an important player in the game, I do want to go back to even before they go to one beach, because obviously you said Mariah was the kind of the lone man out in the Sega boat. Mm-hmm. And I was actually talking to Logan this before we started recording, but it felt to me like the rest of the Sega people didn't make her feel like she was going to be on the outs because she was on the wrong side of the vote. And maybe I'm jumping ahead, but I just thought it was odd how this episode played out, where she kind of felt like she was on the outs, even though it seemed like Sega wanted to stay strong and kind of even was trying to encourage her and say like, oh, it's okay, we like you, no hard feelings.
Yeah. And I think that would have all worked out if, like you said, I don't want to get too far ahead, but Q kind of putting the target on her, if it wouldn't have been for the target getting put on her and bringing up some of the, oh, she was the low man on the totem pole, kind of on the outs, but even though they're all trying to stay strong, if that didn't happen, I think she clearly would still be here. And it was just kind of unfortunate the way they played out, because if she would have become clean before then, I very well think she could have been here still as well. So it was just unfortunate in her game, obviously, because she went home. But
yeah, I mean, I guess we can stick on Mariah a little bit. I want to save some of this for Tribal Council, but I'm with you, Brandon, because I didn't think it was going to go that direction, even though her name was getting brought up a ton. I almost felt like the thing that kind of put the dagger in was how weary Sega was to throw out a name. And I think that, to me, is what kind of put everything over the edge. Because I don't know about you guys, but I definitely think that Venus is the more dangerous player between the two of them. But having a whole tribe on your side definitely adds another level to it.
Yeah. I would say, and to get into Venus, like even pre-challenge, we haven't really got to see the strategic side of Nami or Sega outside of one vote for Sega. So it was actually nice to see, like, oh, Venus is a player in this game, and she's playing hard, and she's actually really smart. And I actually feel like she might go on a pretty good run here after what I saw today.
Yeah, I definitely thought seeing some of each of those other teams was nice. And somebody that really stood out to me this episode was Venus, for how much that she was, one, highlighted, but we saw her actually playing the game, which was actually really nice to see.
Yeah, and we saw that a little bit where she aligned herself with Brandon and then tried to just stick with Hunter. I don't know. We saw her, I feel like out of all of Nami, we saw Venus play the game probably more than anybody. I mean, other than Hunter, like finding the idol and stuff, but just the strategic side of Venus, she was always kind of looking for that angle. But I am excited to see where she goes, because I'm with you, Brandon. I definitely think she could go on a run. Not my favorite player of the season, I don't dislike her by any means, but I'm curious to see how far she makes it.
Yeah, you mentioned Hunter finding his idol. We should dig into that, because that's before both of the tribes show up, and he actually has to do that before both of the other tribes show up to their beach, because the merge is going to happen on Nami's beach. Yeah, I thought he played it very well, and he's really discreet about what he was doing, because he had to go and get his clue, because his tribe never lost, so they just provided him a clue anyway, and he had to like act as if he was excited about the merge, and he just started running down the beach, and everybody else was just kind of following him too, going, what are we even doing? And then he just disappeared, and then had to play the whole stairs game, and what, dig a key out of the stairs? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he had to find a key over by the steps. He played that really well.
And I always wonder, because they make it seem like he got it with seconds to spare. I always wonder how close that actually was. If he had like plenty of time, or if it was really like the hourglass is, the sand is running out, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's the piece of Survivor that I wish we just knew a little bit more. And maybe that's just the super fan in me, but I want to know, how long are they waiting for the other tribes to show up? I know on the note they said, hey, you have 10 minutes to collect your bags. How close are these islands? I don't know. Just a lot of those little details that I'm super curious about. So when the merge happened and everybody went to the same beach, everybody went to Nami's beach, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that the beach they always go to, or was it because they had the best setup? Do you think they change that up or decide on the go?
So I actually was thinking about that today, and I never have before. And I kind of want to go back to previous seasons and just kind of look, but I almost wonder if the tribe that is the most successful gets to keep their beach.
Or kind of a perk for winning.
Yeah, you get to keep your beach, or maybe mm-hmm. they're like, it's just they do have the most ideal setup, so we'll send them there. But I feel like it's got to be you didn't lose, so we're not going to make you move, sort of thing.
Yeah,
definitely makes sense. But you're right, I don't remember paying attention to that or really even thinking about it in previous seasons. One other thing that I wanted to talk about before we get into the challenge, the little plus one alliance, and kind of how that all got talked about. So the plus one alliance with Q, Tim, and Hunter, when they all went on that journey, and they all said, okay, everybody pick a plus one, essentially, and somebody that you're willing to take. And Q picked Tiffany, Hunter picked Tevin, and Tim picked Maria. So they all get to the beach when the merge happens, and Hunter and Tevin are on board, Q and Tiffany are on board, and Tim had not talked to Maria. I thought he played that off really well, but that was that was kind of weird. I wasn't sure how the alliance would go after that, but it seemed to bounce back a little bit. But I was just curious your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, and I thought that he did play it off pretty well, and kind of twisting why he didn't bring that up. And I don't know if it really made that big of a difference. I don't think it's going to affect the alliance or anything that much. I know there was some question there from everybody else of were they truly in? But I don't think it'll affect too much.
Yeah, I almost wonder if he like didn't Tim, if Tim didn't think it was going to come back up, or if he just didn't feel like he actually needed to tell Maria, and just because they haven't really had to strategize, and he probably was like, I'll tell her when the time's right. And Q obviously coming from a completely different situation of having to play strategy from day one, probably has just been ready to go with that. So Tim has his numbers, Q does not. So Tim probably didn't think it was nearly as important as Q did to set that up. That's
true. Yeah, very true. Makes sense. And then Maria did seem on board once she was completely filled in. So I do think it could work really well. And I like that group a lot.
I think Maria is a really interesting person this season. I think because she's clearly kind of in with those six. And then she also has Charlie that they both seem really close, and where she's kind of got several different things working. So she's one that I've kind of been watching, but definitely I feel like kind of an interesting player this season.
I'm with you. I think that is the most powerful duo in the game right now, is Maria and Charlie.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because
I could see that.
They have their duo is kind of under the table. They're really the only ones that know that it's like that, you know?
Yeah.
Where you have like Hunter and Tevin, everybody kind of knows they're a duo. Q and Tiff, everybody knows they're a duo. But yeah, theirs is like kind of under wraps. So I'm with you there. But is there anything else pre-challenge?
Not for me. I'm ready to hop in.
I'd say let's hop into the challenge.
All right, let's do it. So, challenge. Talked about earlier. You have to earn the merge now. And you do that at the challenge. And there are 13 players. They're going to divide into two teams of six. There's going to be one odd man out. The way that they're going to do that is they're going to draw rocks. I'll explain the challenge, and then Blake, I'll kick it over to you so you can break down the rock draw.
Perfect.
So the challenge is actually, I really like what they did with the end of this challenge specifically. So break it down. Two teams of six. So one at a time, you're going to race under a muddy net to a cart. Once your team is at the cart, you're going to push that cart through a field, and you're going to collect these sandbags, and you're going to kind of set them on the cart in a stack. And then once you get to the end of the field that you're collecting in, you're going to use the cart and the stack of sandbags to climb up onto a tower. At the top of that tower, you're going to collect a bag of keys and then slide down on kind of a net rope slide, which I really hate watching that because I feel like somebody gets hurt every time.
I feel like it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. Anyway, you're going to slide down that, and then you have to get everybody up this massive boulder. Now remember, you're caked in mud, so it's really slippery. And then puzzle time, because obviously it's Survivor. So this puzzle has three sections, and two tribe mates at a time are going to do one section of the puzzle. And then once your section is done, two other tribe mates are going to do their section. And then the last two will do section three. And first to complete the puzzle wins immunity, earns a buff and is officially merged, and gets to participate in the merge feast. And that last part in the puzzle, and we've seen this a few times this season where they're making everybody participate in certain aspects of the challenge. And I think that that is really great. And I hope that they continue to do that moving forward. But Blake, I'll give you the breakdown.
No, I'm completely with you on that. I love the fact that they're making everybody participate in certain aspects of the challenge. So I absolutely love that change. As far as teams go, they were randomly selected by rock draw. So you had purple, a yellow, and then a gray rock. And because there was 13 people, six on each side, the gray rock got to pick which team they went with. So on the purple side, by far the favorites was Tevin, Hunter, Kinsey, Tim, Q, and Ben. So Kinsey was the only girl on that side. The yellow side was Charlie. He was the only guy there. And there was Liz, Mariah, Maria, Soda, and Venus. Obviously, Tiffany ended up choosing purple because definitely the stronger side. But I don't know about you guys. I was pretty shocked that it was as close as it was. They did not take advantage of their strength there, I don't think. Or it just wasn't as disproportionate as it looked on paper.
Yeah, I thought they were, as soon as I saw the teams get divvied out, I was like, oh, this is not going to be a competition whatsoever. And I was shocked that it was that close. But I thought that the orange team with Charlie and the girls, they pushed hard and they almost did it. So kudos to them for that, for sure. Yeah. Did you guys catch whenever they were listing off who was on each team? Jeff was reading that off. Charlie piped in and said his height. So the rest of the girls said their height.
That was pretty
funny.
That was awesome. I was hoping the other side would do it too. But...
it's like Sunday Night Football or something.
Yeah.
Charlie, 5'11". But anyway, at the beginning of the challenge, going under the mud rope, the orange team got off to a head start, or not got off to a head start, but they jumped out ahead, and then the purple team kind of pulled back ahead, as you would have expected them to. But that's kind of the beauty of the puzzle, is it's the great equalizer in for challenges. Sure. And I mean, man, yeah, orange almost pulled it off.
Honestly, if it wasn't for Hunter, I don't know that purple would have won.
Yeah.
Hunter was flying through that puzzle on that last piece that he did.
Even Tevin said there at the end, which I think he needs to be really careful, especially if he's aligned with Hunter, but you could hear him say, man, Hunter is a puzzle wizard.
Yeah. I wonder if he had that one 3D printed or whatever he does. I don't know if he 3D prints or just.
Yeah, it looked new. So, and I like that each of the three sides were different shapes. Like the top one had more triangles than the rest of them. I don't know. It just seemed to switch it up. And I liked it. I like that challenge a lot. That boulder would be so difficult.
Oh, the way that the orange team, did you see how they were doing it? Yep. Like the, obviously purple, they were just like strength, but to get the last person up the boulder, they had like, was it Charlie laying on his stomach? And then like Venus and somebody else holding Charlie down to get the last person up or something. I don't know if that's exactly what I saw, yeah, but they had some.
I think Soda was down there too. I mean, yeah. There was like four people that they had all leaned over in certain ways to help like give strength to the next person.
Yeah.
I honestly said at one point after seeing how, like, I mean, obviously the purple team got up it pretty quick, but I feel like they still struggled at points on that. And as soon as I saw them struggling, I was like, oh man, I don't know if orange team's going to get up this, because that's tough, especially being obviously covered in mud. Like, oh. But they did. They did it.
I would hate being covered in mud like that. Even because, like, if you watch Tevin, whenever he got out of the mud, he couldn't see. His whole face was covered. He's like, where am I even at?
He was running blind.
Yeah. But so, yeah, with the challenge, purple team, they all got their buffs, and the merge buff is red, which I love.
Yeah, I like that too. I was expecting, I was thinking either red or green.
I like the red a lot.
I guess Sega was green, weren't they?
Sega was green.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I like the red too. It's pretty bright too. It's almost pinkish. Let's talk about the merge feast for a little bit. Shout out. It seemed like everybody just wanted to throw a name out, and since Yanu was all safe, it was between Siga and Nami. So they kind of made both Siga and Nami throw a name out. And that was the first time that we had seen a kind of Siga show any cracks. But I mean, let's talk about that. How do you think that played out?
Well, for starters, like Nami, Tevin was like eager to throw a name out. He was Venus, but I felt like Tim just said Mariah just because like they kept pressing them on putting a name out, and Mariah just made sense since she was on the wrong side of the vote. But I don't know. I think it's weird to be like, put a name out there. You have to. Because Siga clearly they're trying to stay five strong.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought it was really weird or kind of just awkward and kind of odd for them to make this and them say, like, spring a name. Like who? I don't know. It's just, I didn't love that, but.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the strategy there for a minute, because while you don't really have the numbers, like you need Yanu, you really need somebody from Yanu or Siga to flip. Siga needs somebody from Yanu or Nami to flip. And so if you're acting like everything's tight and we're good, they seemed like more focused on showing that they were Siga strong than branching out and trying to bring other people in for their numbers. Did you guys catch that at all or think that way?
That's exactly how I kind of took what they were doing. I'm like, Siga is happy with their situation. That's how it felt to me.
Which I think was really poor planning on their part, because they were down three votes essentially. I mean, they needed to get two at least to flip.
I honestly hadn't really thought about it that far of like, obviously they wanted to stay five strong, but to the point of them being on the bot, like not having the majority votes there that they needed more. Like, I definitely think they could have gone about how they were doing that differently.
And I think that, in my opinion, that was what forced everybody else to vote out Siga. Mm-hmm. Because from Tevin's perspective, when he threw out Venus, it's like, okay, we need two votes. I can throw out Venus and lose her if I gain the three Yanus. Like, that gives me my two votes. So now we can vote out whoever we want. And then thinking, like, okay, there are cracks over here in Nami. Siga's pretty strong. And then for Mariah to come out in tribal council and say that, oh, I was actually on the bottom. I was left out, when she had just told everybody all episode that they were tight and it was unanimous. I just don't think it was I don't know. I don't think Siga played that great this week.
Yeah. Her ditch at the end was just a last ditch effort to save her own, and just was too little too late.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it directly after the episode ended, and I thought, is Mariah a good Survivor player? And I thought, you know, I don't know, because we didn't really get to see Siga strategize, and obviously same with Nami. So I almost wonder if, like, it hurts you. Obviously you want to win, because pre-merge, obviously you want to win because it means you're safe. But I almost wonder if it's almost a negative to really not have to play until the merge. Like, I almost wonder if that's why it felt like, not necessarily a blunder on Mariah's part, but why it just felt so odd.
I completely agree. And again, not that you want to be the weakest tribe before the merge and lose everybody like Yanu did this season, but I mean, they are coming out and they're the most sought after people right now is the Yanu 3. So I think they hold a lot of power. I think that power dynamic shifted pretty quickly.
Yeah, I definitely think there's something to be said about having to play the game before the merge. You can, it's, I think, a night and day difference between how people are playing the game, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Yanu ran the beach during the merge, and like, because their wheels have already been turning since day one because they've had to. So it's just, I almost wonder if it's just maybe that's part of Siga's whole, like, we don't want to throw out a name, we don't want to really strategize, and it's just because they're like, we're comfortable kind of in our current situation, and that might honestly be to their detriment. What makes them go extinct, to be extreme. But
yeah, I feel like this season we're going to see a lot of stages of the game. So I'm trying to think like three or four steps ahead here. So Yanu was clearly not in a great position. Make it to the merge, and they're in a really great position. Well, if they can weed down really both sides, I mean, I feel like that's what we see a lot of times, where they'll kind of whittle it down on both sides and still play in the middle as long as possible. And then I almost wonder if everybody's going to see, wait a second, they've had to play really hard, or they've been making these big moves because they have had the power, if that's going to shift focus to them in a week or two. And then who knows if, you know, Siga's still tight. That could be, you know, could be what they need to stick tight. So I don't know. It's definitely going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. And I that plus one alliance of six, I think, is a really, really strong alliance. And then add Charlie in there, because he's got Maria. I feel like we're going to see a lot of, I don't know, just shifts in the game, and a lot of power dynamics change.
Yeah, and not to like skip over things, but just to seeing shifts in the game, like talking about like the look ahead to next week's episode, they're voting out two people, right?
That is true.
How are they going to do that? Are they going to split them up and have two separate tribals? Or are they just going to go back to back votes? What are they going to do? That might be that big shakeup that we see is next week.
Yeah. I honestly think it's going to be where they're split up into two tribes. One tribe goes to a separate beach and they have two separate tribal councils like they've done it in the past.
I know what I expect as well. I still don't know that I love that.
I don't.
I mean, you've made the merge. It's time to merge. And it, well, I don't know.
Not only like have you made the merge, but I feel like that type of format where you're splitting them up is deliberately to shake up the dynamic. For and sure. I don't like that. It's like, and I know like Jeff kind of said it today. He's like, man, your whole game could change just based off of drawing the wrong colored rock right now. And like, that's kind of what Survivor is a giant game of chance basically. And, but I just like my, like Tevin, if he went home because he happens to do a tribe, split tribal council and he's, you know, the only Nami that happens and he goes home, like that would just be dumb. So, sure.
Yeah, it takes away from the strategy in the traditional sense and just makes it more random, I feel like. And this is not a game, I don't know, I like seeing the strategy and the good players go far, not like the fact that anybody can win if they just get lucky enough.
No, I agree with that 100%.
What did you think of Venus's effort to throw Charlie's name out there?
I thought it was kind of brave. Obviously, like we said, we've seen her start playing the game and like trying to make moves. And I think part of me didn't like the Mo vote because it seemed like it was the easy vote. And people kind of just went along with it, where I think Venus was trying to make a move, and obviously I love seeing that. So part of me almost kind of wanted that to happen just because I didn't love the Mo vote, but I like Charlie a lot and don't want him out yet. And so I was kind of torn there, but it was interesting to see her throw out that big of a name, I guess. And
I actually liked it, and I'm curious if it was just like a random name that she chose, because part of her reasoning was like she wants to get a guy out, right? Or if it was that she's just was somehow able to read, like, I think Charlie's a strong player, so maybe we should get him out.
I think it may have been a combination of both, but with him being seeing all the guys except for one over on one side, I kind of took it as she was just wanting to get a guy out. But I don't know. I'm with you. I like that description, Logan, saying that that was brave. I think that's a really good way to describe it. And it almost worked, but I don't know if you caught their faces, both Venus and her facial expressions at Tribal Council and Charlie with what he said when Jeff asked Charlie, have you heard your name thrown out there? And he said, I've heard whispers, but all I can do is basically the connections that I've made. I forget how he said it, but just, you know, I had to go to them and them be honest with me. Like he seems to have a lot of people that really trust him. And I think Venus picked up on that a little bit, so I'll be curious to see if they go after each other some more. I don't know.
Yeah. And you bringing that up where he was like, I just need to trust the people that I've built relationships with that I'm good. That stuck out to me as well, because like most other people, if they hear their name, it's scramble time. So like, yeah, his name was on the block, but like as a viewer, we didn't really even see Charlie doing any sort of legwork to make sure that that didn't happen, because I think he just felt good about it.
Right.
Yeah. Do you guys think Venus is maybe, well, I don't know, not playing too strong, but I feel like this is the second name that she's thrown out there, been kind of weary of. She was kind of like that with Hunter at the beginning of saying that he just wasn't a good guy and all of these different things and saying he was playing the game, which he is. But do you think she's doing it too often and she's just trying to go after people, or?
Well, I think you got to be careful when you're throwing out names, but mm-hmm. she's definitely, I think obviously people see her as a strong player. I mean, to go back to saying names, she was, I think it was with Tim, she was like trying to do name for a name. I'll tell you a name if you tell me
yeah.
a name. So she definitely, and that's just a way for her to get information, but it's risky because you start throwing out names, or if you're the first one to be throwing out names, people are going to go after you.
For sure. Yeah, I think she was playing a little hard, but if she lasts the next couple weeks, I mean, she could make it quite a ways, potentially even to the end, because she is definitely strategic. Whether or not people will let her go to the end, that's still, I don't know. We'll see, but she's playing well.
Yeah. And it's interesting to kind of go back to like playing hard or not playing at all. Like, she was really kind of the only one on Nami that kind of had to play. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is she playing hard? Or is that how she plays and it's just sticking out because nobody else is really having to go and do some of the things that she was having to do this episode?
Yeah, that it is interesting because the juxtaposition to her is Liz. And Liz was on Nami. And I mean, she said how many times before the merge that she doesn't need the money. She just wants to see how far she can get. And so she's almost like not playing the strategic side, even though that might be her strategy. And then you've got the complete opposite of Venus, who is like, hey, give me info. Hey, give me info. Hey, let me throw out this name. And just constantly. So I don't know. Kind of interesting to see the different strategies and how they play out.
Liz has final 3-0 vote person written all over her because she has done nothing.
Mm-hmm. I could honestly see her being the, oh, I'll take her because she's done nothing and nobody's going to vote for her because they know she doesn't need the money. Yep.
Okay, so that poses an interesting question. You guys are on Survivor. Would you rather end up in third with no votes because people felt like you didn't do much, but you get third, or you play your heart out and you get like eighth?
I would rat. Okay, that is a tough question.
Right?
So here's that thing. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying, is that her strategy? Does she really need some sort of money? And she's just saying that to get as far as she can.
Yeah. So for me, like, they call them like goats, that they get dragged to the end, right?
Which is so funny to me because goat in every other game is greatest of all time.
But right.
In Survivor, that's who you just drag to the end.
Yep. So for me, like somebody like Liz or Jake or I can't even really think of any other names right now. But anyway, like that goat, like they have to know they're not going to win, right? At a certain point. You have to pick up on the fact that, like, I did not play a strong game, and I think I'm here because they feel like I am going to be easy to beat. So I almost feel like I'd rather go out like Caleb and go out and with a big splash, because people felt like I was a threat and could win the game. So they took me out early and I still made the merge.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but if you're third and you're a goat, you get the full survivor experience. So it's tough. And you do get money for taking third, more than you would for taking eighth. So
true. No, I was just going to say, for me, it would be hard for me not to play the game and just kind of ride it out, as I'm a fairly competitive person, I like to think. And it would be hard for me just to sit back and not do anything. If I got on Survivor, I'd want to play it through to as best as I could. That way, if and when I got voted out, I didn't regret anything.
Yeah, you feel like you got the most of it. Because even like Liz was like, yeah, I don't need to hunt for idols. I'm good. I don't care. Like, for me, that's just boring. Like,
for sure. For sure.
Where are you at on that, Blake?
I think it totally depends on why, like, what your goal is to get out of being on Survivor. Are you there for the money, whether it's $1 million or not? Because like everybody gets some sort of stipend, and obviously top three get the most. So are you going just to get as much money as you can because you need to provide for your family? Or do you want to, you know, are you going for the fame? Or are you going to play the game of Survivor and to experience it? And that's the part of what you said, Brandon, that I thought was the most interesting is, and are you going because you want to play the best game, or do you want to experience as much of the game as possible? All of that being said, I have a really hard time believing that Liz, or that somebody like Liz, that is her strategy, to be so lackadaisical that she's not going to hunt for idols. She's not going to talk strategy. Like, she'll be around, but that seems hard for me to believe. So that may just be who she is, but I don't know. I'd rather play not as aggressive of a game. And instead of getting eighth, maybe I'll take fifth and get the best of both worlds. I know that was a cop-out answer, but
yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad you asked that question, because I've never really thought about that.
But I think you're right. I think at some point you've got to know, okay, I don't think I'm going to make it. Like, even if I make it to the end, I just don't know that I'm going to get more votes than this person. I would think that it would be hard to think that, man, I didn't play a great game. But more of the thought of, man, I didn't play as good of a game as this person or this person. I played the best game that I possibly could, but they played a better game. So I don't know.
Yeah.
This is the part of Survivor, and they mentioned it in the episode. I think Q did, or maybe it was Mariah talking about like getting the whiteboard out. There's not a whiteboard big enough to talk about all the different strategies and how everything could possibly play out. This is what I love to do, is kind of fantasize a little bit about, okay, what would I do? How would I do this? What are the different options here? And this, for me, is when that game just really takes off. Well, we are to tribal. Hunter didn't have a vote, right?
He was very open about it, too.
And Tevin had an extra vote. But Hunter could be open about it because he didn't...
He was safe, yeah.
Right, he was safe. So I thought that was probably smart, but he may have talked about that before before he even knew that he was safe. I don't remember.
He I think the first time he talked about it was at the Merge Feast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was after that he knew he was safe. He brought it up.
Okay. We talked about Mo, kind of her last ditch effort to say that she was on the bottom when she had the opportunity to do that earlier. I thought it was cool for Q to kind of call her out on that, and push back a little bit and like, wait a second, we talked about this and you flat out told me this, so you can tell me that you're being honest and truthful and you want it all out there, but that goes against everything you just told me, so now I don't trust you. And like we said earlier, I think it was her only shot, but I think the way Q reacted to it didn't let anybody believe her.
Yeah.
I definitely thought it was a strange last-ditch effort for... I mean, I understand it, but it just didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense to say. I don't know if it would have changed anything if she just kept quiet, but it just felt like a weird thing to say at the time, because I don't think that Tribal Council is the place to earn votes or get people off of you.
Sure.
But
too little too late.
Yeah. Unless they did like a live tribal, which I don't like when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm with you. That's not my favorite. Yeah. But there was less votes than there were people, obviously, because Hunter didn't vote. Does not look like Tevin used his extra vote. And Mariah didn't vote because she played her shot in the dark. And once again, she was not safe. So
she did not get her Caleb moment, because she definitely would have.
Nope. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely like the shot in the dark as an option, and the odds are so low. Like, it definitely, you know, makes you think about risk versus reward, and that you only get to use it once. But I would, for TV's sake, I would like to see more of those moments, because that one last season was awesome.
Yeah, that was fantastic. But yeah, because that the vote tonight, I didn't look at the actual numbers, but like Mariah got all the votes, right? Outside of Venus getting one.
And I think I want to say that Charlie's the one that voted Venus.
Yeah, he is.
Which I mean, if his name, or if it got back to him that she was the one that vote, or what, like threw his name out there, then that makes sense. And then in the off chance she used her shot in the dark and was safe, then that was a nice vote to throw out there.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going Sega strong, so I voted Venus. It's an easy explanation, but I don't know if anybody's going to question it.
Yeah.
I don't.
It'll be interesting. I always find these votes and just the dynamic of how everybody votes interesting. And I know we've talked about this before in comparison to Big Brother. But with Big Brother, you have two people on the block or on the verge of going home that you can vote for. And Survivor, you have everybody. So often, Big Brother, and granted, they have like a better part of a week in between each vote, but they tend to all vote together. So if they find out, hey, I don't have the numbers to do this, I'll just vote with the majority because I don't want to show my hand.
Yeah.
And so it really surprises me that that doesn't happen more in Survivor, with as similar of the social game that there is. And maybe it's because there are more people to vote for. You have less time to determine if you're on the side of the numbers. But I'm always surprised for somebody like Charlie, who seems incredibly strategic, to know like he, I feel like he knew it wasn't Venus. He was throwing a shot at her saying, I see you. You were the one that throwing my name out there, so you're getting a vote. And it just seems bold. It may not ever come back to bite him because nobody may never know. But that difference in strategy between those two games is always, I don't know, just intriguing to me.
No, I always like the early votes, especially in games, are always weird because, like, tonight, the merge is like, it's obviously not the beginning of the game, but it's a new part of the game. And I just feel like it's easy to find, it's like a really weird reason to vote somebody out. Like I actually thought Venus was going home tonight. I'm going to be honest.
I did too.
So it was completely bizarre to me that like Mariah was like gone in a landslide, and it just felt random to me. And it's funny that you brought up Big Brother, because I was actually, when I watched this vote, I was thinking of the Traitors, because like early parts of the Traitors, the people that they vote out make no sense because there's no rhyme or reason to it. They're just like, you looked at me funny, so we're going to vote you. And then everybody else is just like, I'm going to do that too, because I don't want to put a target on my back. So I feel like that's what happened with this vote.
That's where I wonder, or I worry about Yanu, because they're going to be pushing for certain people, like if they're going to end up putting a target on their backs.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be another good season, I can tell already. So,
yeah, and I think Q might be in trouble a little bit, because I think Q's playing hard and kind of looked like Tiffany and Kinsey were talking about him.
Yeah, I definitely think he needs to be careful, because he is playing a really good game and very strategic game. But if he's not careful, it's going to come back to bite him real quick.
Sure.
But do we want to hop into Survivor of the Week?
I like it. I like it. Who wants to go first? Three, two, one, Brandon.
Okay. So, my Survivor of the Week is actually, it's, again, kind of weird. There were a lot of different ways you could go with this vote. And I feel like it might be like lame because we've picked him a lot. And there's a few people that I wanted to pick, but I liked Q this week just because, and you could go really with anybody on Yanu, but I liked Q because it really felt like as soon as he hit the beach at the merge, he was getting to work and making sure that he had all his ducks in a row with the plus one alliance, and then just trying to kind of figure out where everybody else is with their tribes and really making sure that he had a good plan to set himself up for success post-merge.
I like it. I think that's a good pick.
What about you, Logan?
For me, I kind of, not a necessarily different direction, but this is somebody that we've said before, and kind of two main reasons that I picked him. I'm going to say Hunter. I think for the simple fact that before this episode, he had nothing. He didn't have a vote. He didn't have anything. To now got past this tribal council, had zero vulnerability, had no chance of going home, now has his vote back, and now has the hidden immunity idol. So I think he kind of 180'd his game. Obviously, we didn't see a ton of like strategic talk or alliance talk with him. I mean, he's kind of been around some of that so far, but I think just those two main things with the idol and vote, I'm going to say that Survivor of the Week for me.
I like that. As much as I like both of those picks, I really, really like Q. but I think Hunter is playing the better game. He's playing really well, setting himself up strategically, but he's much quieter about it, where Q is a little louder, a little more in your face, a little more vocal. And I think that's going to serve Hunter very well, the fact that he is a little more reserved and laid back and not just kind of out there with it. My pick is totally different, actually. And it came from kind of that one moment at Tribal Council. But I'm actually going to pick Charlie. Even though his name was thrown out there, he could have been an easy vote with him being the only guy that was not safe. I'm sure the guys wanted to keep him, but the way he is played strategically, or when his name to get thrown out there and it be a valid option. I mean, when Venus said that, I thought, oh gosh, Charlie's in trouble now, and I don't want that. But he didn't scramble. He had the right relationships in place and actually like stood firm in that trust that they were solid, that he was golden. So from the social strategic side of things, or the social side of that game, he was my survivor of the week. We didn't get to see a lot of those moves, but we saw the outcome of it.
I like it. I almost picked Venus, but so I think she would have been a good pick just because we finally got to see some strategy by her.
Yeah. She was right there for me, but like I said, just had to go with Hunter.
I like it. Who, let's see, of our tribes that we picked, kind of that that blind draw, that first season or the first episode, who lost a member of their tribe?
I lost Mariah this week.
Brandon.
I'm down to three. I'm down to Soda, Q, and Maria. And Blake is sitting pretty, we'll say.
Ooh. Jeez. But Q and Maria, those are solid. Those are real solid.
Yep.
I think we all, like, all three of us still have some good people still left on our team, obviously. And as far as I'm concerned, obviously, Brandon, you have three left, and me and Blake have a few more than that, but I think it's anybody's game, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. Nobody seems like they're just running away with it this season, and I love that. So I'll be curious to see how the next couple weeks shake up, if there turns out to be like one alliance that is just running everything, or if it's kind of that new school survivor where, there's those voting blocks where, hey, this vote I'm voting with these people, this vote I'm voting with these people. So I'm really curious to see kind of how the game shakes up. So anything else you guys want to talk about before we close this out?
I got nothing.
I don't think so.
Perfect. Brandon, where can everybody find us?
You can find us on Twitter, on X, at MergeFeastPod. You can also hear us anywhere that you listen to podcasts, Apple, YouTube, Spotify, anywhere, Odyssey. That's where we are.
Perfect. All right. We will catch you guys next week. Another fun episode next week. Tune in. We'll be live Friday. And that's all I've got. Logan, say goodbye, Logan.
Goodbye, Logan.